First, I want to thank Ohel for giving us an opportunity to be mishtatif, to participate in something as important as this. And I want to thank those of you who came, Mr. Shabbos in New York. Mr. Shabbos is getting longer. It's a time that people usually use for themselves, for entertainment, for whatever it may be. So to take the time off and to come certainly is a serious nefesh. I also want to thank our good friend, Rabbi Yehoshua Kerlin, our good friend, and who's been with us, these Yom HaTovim, and also in earlier, throughout the years, to mechazek anything that's good and anything that's holy. And it means a lot to us. So chaver means a lot to me personally, and as to all of us. It became a chaver with our community. I want to talk for a few minutes about this idyon. To focus on a particular aspect of what we just saw. Really, after watching a short video like that, it's unnecessary to talk. But because this is not, as you know, this is not a fundraiser. It's an attempt to raise a certain type of consciousness. I'm trying to do that within myself. And for all of us, B'nei Odom Yoish V'choyish V'tzalmoves, Asiri Yonah Yavarzel, Yisir M'choyish V'tzalmoves, and Yisrael Yisrael Yinateik. When we read those words before Yom Kippur, we were thinking about ourselves. B'nei Odom Yoish V'choyish V'tzalmoves. Human beings who are sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. We ask Hashem, Yitzir M'choyish V'tzalmoves, to take us out from the chains of the darkness that we brought into our own lives. And we were thinking about that when we said that to Yom Kippur, by Kaparis, whether you did it with a chicken or you did it with some money. When we said those words, we were thinking about ourselves. We were thinking about how throughout the entire year something has happened in our lives. We find ourselves in the spiritual darkness, and we're asking Hashem to take us out of that darkness. Baruch Hashem, Yom Tovim, Yom Neroim have passed. And sof kol sof, now we feel like B'nei Odom HaYoshvei Tachas HaShemesh. We feel comfortable as people who are sitting under the light of the sun. We sit around our tables. The greatest nachas that we could have is to sit around our tables with our families, to be able to sing zmiras together, to be able to see the children come home. And at this time, there's an outcry. B'nei Odom Yoshvei Choshev Tzalmoves, that at this very moment now that we're sitting, even together now with chaverim, friends, we're sitting together or in our homes, I'll probably say there are people, there are children, who after we turn off the lights and we settle comfortably into our lives, cozily tucked in with our families, there are children who are Yoshvei Choshev Tzalmoves day in, day out, who live in a state of darkness and feel that they're living in the in that place of Tzalmoves, who are living in homes that are filled with sorrows, homes that are filled with loneliness. In the materials that I received from Ohel, there was a journal called Voices. It would be good for everybody to see. I don't know if there are any of them here, but we can make them, I'm sure, available to whoever would want. It's a journal. It's a journal of things that were written by and about some of the children who were in foster homes. And I saw this last night. I tore it out tonight. I wouldn't say anything. Orthodox congregation. And I was so moved by this particular note. It was written by somebody, Barbara. I don't know if it's about herself or it's somebody that wrote it about her. It sounds like it's about yourself, written in the third person. Listen to this. A young girl sits by her desk in school, licking her wounds. She starts thinking about her house. Now, for most of us that think about our houses, that's I don't mean the physical structure where things are breaking, but I mean the people in our homes, for most of us, that's a very pleasant thought. It's the most pleasant thought. So she starts thinking about her house. Every day the same fear lurked within her. What will he do to me today? How will my father treat me today? Will he be all smiles, or will he take the other approach? The other approach. She started thinking about her mother, who returned her soul to her creator 3 years ago. She thought about all the love she received then. But now most times she goes to bed starving and beaten. Then one day she was called to the office. A police officer was waiting for her. We heard about your situation at home. We decided to take you away from there. He took her by the hand and brought her to a building. She was then placed in a foster home with other children. Wow, have things changed. No longer did she go to bed beaten and starving. Now she went to bed full and loved. You know, you remember the Gemara Tanis, the Gemara Chani Amagel. You remember he slept for 70 years. My sister almost wants to do that. My father woke her up. He slept for 70 years, Chani Amagel. You remember what happened when he woke up? He woke up and he went, the Gemara says, on Chav Gimel, the Gemara says he went to Ben Benoi, he found his grandson. And he said, Ani Chayni. I'm your grandfather. So it says that he didn't believe him. Nobody believed him. Then it says he went to the Bis Medrash. He went to the Bis Medrash. He walks into the Bis Medrash. He says, Ani Chayni. And he says, I'm Chayni. And nobody believed him. So the Gemara there ends. The Gemara there ends by saying, Chalash Daita. Get a Chalishas Hadas by Rachmei Vemis. He davened to Hashem, take my life away. He wanted to die. He couldn't bear it. He couldn't go on living. Do you know how many children, how many boys and girls come home? And in that home they say, Ani Moshe, Ani Chani, I'm sorry, I'm Sarah, I'm Chayim, whatever. And they don't believe him. They don't believe her. They don't understand who the child is. They don't care who the child is. For whatever reason, there are people that are going through difficulties. Now the Jewish community is completely besieged. All the things that we thought as children, that our community is exempt from, is part that we'll never experience. All of those things our community is mamish besieged by nowadays. So these children come to the house and they say, do you know who I am? I'm Chan. Do you know who I am? I'm Yaakov. The parents who are so caught up sometimes in their own difficulties, be it parnasim, emotional difficulties, whatever it might be. Nobody's blaming anybody. But the child is not seen. The child is not believed. The child is not accepted. So then the child goes to school, just like Chani HaMagel, after he wasn't believed. He wasn't accepted as Chani. They didn't know who he was at home. So then Chani HaMagel, then Chani HaMagel went to Bis Medrash. So then the children, you have this child, this little boy, this little girl that goes to school. Comes to a class, 25, 30 kids. The teacher doesn't understand, how come Yaakov is not paying attention? What's the matter with Yaakov? How come he can't say the Gemara over? How come he didn't do well in his test? Does the Rebbe know? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Maybe if he knows what Yaakov lives through at home. What does he live through at home? What does the Rebbe know? What does the principal know? Even after they've spoken to the social workers, are they there with Yaakov to know what it's like to be screamed at, to be yelled at? What is it like to be in a home? What's it like to be in a home where the parents are abusing each other, abusing the children, Chalila? You know, I had a boy who came to me. It's a true story. I had a boy that came to me sobbing uncontrollably. He told me, he could barely control himself. I said, what happened? He's such a sweet kid, such a sensitive guy. He said to me, I did the greatest sin that a Jew could do. So I'm used to hearing that introduction. So I said, like, you moved books or something? What did you do? He did the greatest sin imaginable. So he said, I punched my father in the face. And I said, why did you do that? So he was crying. He said, no, I shouldn't have done it. But he took a hot iron and he put it on my little sister. I lost control. Until now, I always tried to pull him off. I tried to do something, and now I punched him out. And God's gonna kill me. I did such an aver that I hit my father. My father, says, I just never believed such a thing is possible. Couldn't live in, you know, I tell him such a thing, he says, come on, it's not true. Jews don't do that. Like I said, there are Jews that do that. For whatever reason, that the person is driven to such a type of behavior. Does the Rebbe know that? Does the Rebbe know that? Is the Rebbe there? Does the Rebbe feel the child's loneliness? How many children are there saying, Ani Choni, I'm Choni? They don't know who he is, they don't believe him, they don't care. David HaMelech said, Samech Tez, in Kitabul Samech Tez, Muzar Ha'isi Le'achai, Benach Le'vnei'imi, I'm a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's children. Cher Peshav, Olive Vanusha, Akav Alonet Ha'ayin, L'vanachim, L'matzasi, disgrace has broken my heart, my soul, and I am deathly sick. I longed for sympathy, but there was none. And for consolers, but I found none. This is a scream that's coming up, that's rising from our generation, from children in all the Jewish community. For children who feel like strangers in their own homes. Of children who feel broken by disgrace. Where does a person long for sympathy? I once heard Rav Pan. Rav Pan was saying how in the abuse, in the situations where you have abuse in the home, between a husband and a wife, he said the avla is that this woman was dafka looking for this man to provide her with security, to provide her with love. And dafka, the very same person whom she turned to, whom she married, to redeem her from a world that's mishum. Dafka, that person turned against her. An adult can barely deal with these things. The subject of domestic abuse is a very, very dark and disturbing one. An adult doesn't know how to deal with it. I've seen time after time, adults who are broken by this, they don't know how to deal with it. So lachas kama v'chama, so how much more so, infinitely more so. What can you expect from a child? What could one expect from a child who's looking for sympathy? A child was looking for sympathy. I saw a friend of mine wrote a book of stories, and I saw there that there was a certain young woman in her 20s that was seeing a therapist, and she never spoke about her father. And one time, the subject came up, sort of, tangentially, the subject of her father came up, and the therapist, wisely, wanted to take the opportunity to zero in on something. Something was wrong. And he said, would you like to talk about your father a little bit? And she put her head down and she was quiet, and then she started to cry. And he didn't interrupt her. But finally, she said, I'm sorry, I'm crying. I just remembered something that happened when I was a child. And he said, would you like to talk about it? So she said, I'll tell you this one incident that I'm remembering now. She said that it was Pesach Seder, we were sitting around the Seder, and I found the Afikoman. So at the end of the Seder, my father said, well, you found the Afikoman. What is it that you would like for the Afikoman? At this point, she started to cry. She said, I asked him for a conversation. I asked him for one conversation, to talk to me real one time. Imagine. Could you imagine? And thank God we're in healthy homes. We're trying hard to be parents, but there are parents who mamish are not in control. We're not in control. This girl's mother passed away. She's with a man who lost control. And we can't judge such a person. What is it like to bring up a child or children? Who knows? He lost control. He's losing control. And the one that she's looking for sympathy, she doesn't find sympathy. She finds anger. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Hev. The Gemara says over there, an unbelievable Maisa, it says that Gemara is talking there about that there's a whole Maisa with the Sultan, with the evil one. The Gemara says that David HaMelech was kidnapped. It was a Tahbula, there was a whole conspiracy there with the Sultan, and it says that David HaMelech was kidnapped. And they put him, he was taken by the, he was in the area of the Plishtim, and he was taken to an olive press. And the Gemara says that they were going to crush him in the olive press, but then the earth protected him. And then the Gemara switches scenes. The Gemara says this was taking place, Hanidah Mala Shabbos, it was taking place Erev Shabbos, by the time of the candle, right before candle lighting. The Gemara says an amazing thing. The Gemara says that exact time, Avishai ben Tzruya, it says that Avishai ben Tzruya was taking a hot, was washing his hair. He was Isaac and Chafifas Roisha. He was washing his hair in hot water for what? The covered Shabbos. To prepare for Shabbos. The Gemara says over there that when he was doing that, he saw a couple of drops of blood in the water. Floating on the top of the water, he saw a few drops of blood. And then at the same time, suddenly, a dove, a yona, was flying by, and the yona, it says, the Gemara was tearing at its wings, was screaming and crying. And it says in the Gemara, an amazing thing, it says that David HaMelech, that Avishai ben Tzruya understood that Knesset Yisrael was compared to a yona, was compared to a dove, that the Jewish people was compared to a dove, is suffering, something terrible is going on. And who's the heart of the Jewish people? Who's the one human being? Who's the heart of the Jewish people? David Malka Mashiach and David HaMelech. So the Gemara says that Avishai ben Tzruya went to look. He went running to the palace to look for David HaMelech. He wasn't there. He went running to Beis Medrash to look for David HaMelech. He wasn't there. And he didn't know what to do, and he jumped on his horses. And the Gemara said, he jumped on his horse, the Gemara said he had a nice miracle happen. He had Kvitzis HaDerech, that he miraculously was taken to that place where David HaMelech was captured, was imprisoned. And the Gemara says that he was able to save the life of David HaMelech. So if you think about this Gemara, it's an amazing thing. How come people like us are not zoyche for Kvitzis HaDerech? How come we can't get to places like that? In a single bound. What's the lashon exactly? I don't remember. How can we all try? Mostly we spend our lives in traffic jams. And how is it that Avishai ben Tzruya was able to do such a thing, that it was zoicha, that the whole creation, all of creation served him in such a way? Him. To take him to save the life of David Malka Mashiach. But the answer is pashut. The answer is simple. The answer is that when Avishai ben Tzruya would see a film like this, he would go home, and he would take his hot bath for Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we have comfortable homes, we have hot water, we have to worry what not to eat, not what to eat. Avishai ben Tzruya had what to eat, and he had a hot bath, but you know the difference is as follows. After he came home, he saw that, when he took his hot bath, he saw drops of blood coming to the top. And when he saw Yonah that was in pain, he understood that he heard the voice of David HaMelech that couldn't be heard by other people who weren't listening. But because that Tzaddik, Avishai ben Tzruya, was a Jew who was constantly listening, and the Jew whose eyes were focused on the welfare of the Jewish people, he saw the drops of blood on the water. And he understood that something is wrong. And therefore, because he was able to listen from a distance, he was able to hear from a distance, Hashem's Baruch took him that distance in a miraculous way to save the life of David HaMelech. That's the way we have to be. The Gemara is talking to us. We don't see miracles like this nowadays. Kfitzas HaDerech. The question is, can people like us, I don't know how, I don't know how to explain, I don't know whether it's something which is beyond our bechira, but I know that there, as Eli said in the beginning, that there are heroes right here in the room who have done this, who are living comfortable lives with beautiful families. And in the midst of their simch, in the midst of their ayin, they see drops of blood in the water. And they hear the yoin of its Knesset Yisrael crying. And they're filled with a passionate yearning and a desire to do something about it. To do something about it. We have a Kabbalah that I mentioned in Shul many times, a Kabbalah that the Shem Yishmur brings from Avnei Nezer. That Avnei Nezer heard from his Shver, from the Kotzker. And the Kotzker was a Makabu, Imagidei Emes, some true people. That it says in the Gemara says in the Brachas, the Gershman says in Shem Shimba Yachai, Kosher Tavis Rovus Erechbeis Shalodim Yoisim Melchemas Gai Yomagai, that to have a home that is broken is more difficult, more unbearable than the war, than the horrible wars that are predicted in those days of Mashiach, the wars of Gog and Magog. The Gemara says, where do we learn that from? Because it says by David HaMelech, Levarachim B'nei Avshalom B'nai, when he was running away from Avshalom Hashem, Rabbi Marabu Tzarai, Gevaldi, Avshalom Tzaros, Rabbi Kon Malai, Rabbi Mochem is going, Magog, the Gemara says, it doesn't say that, Marabu Tzarai. It says that when a person has Tzaros in his own home, that means the most horrible wars in the world don't break a person as much as a house, as when he has in his own house, Targus Roar. So Avnezer said that the Shem Yishmul says from Avnezer, from his father, that there's a Kabbalah from Kotzke, from the Tzaddikim, that we don't have to have any more Melchemes Gog U'Magog. He said that you're going to see in that generation before Mashiach will be unnecessary to have any of those wars, those horrible wars in the Gemara, and it's in heaven, in Sefer, it's not in the Midrashim, it's not going to be necessary. Why? Because there are so many homes that are torn by war, by unhappiness, that we're ready put. He says we'll go straight to Mashiach, that's the soul, and look at this image. No more. Because of Tavros Rabbis, of Bezah Shalom. So the message is very clear, I hope. The message is that as we're able to sit in such peaceful times, and we're able to live with our families, to be able to see the drops of water, the drops of blood on the surface of the water, and to hear the cry of the Yoina, and to remember that there are children like that, that are desperately in need of foster homes. I have a good friend of mine, Rabbi Kiva Palmer, from Rockway. He made a bar mitzvah this Shabbos. Him and his wife, Rachel, they made a bar mitzvah this Shabbos for a foster child. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what we're checking on mezuzahs? She has to do. We're checking on mezuzahs. He's making a bar mitzvah. But we're arguing over whether or not this is kosher to mahadrin, it's mahadrin and mahadrin, whether I would eat in this person's home, I wouldn't eat in this person's home. Akiva's making a bar mitzvah for foster child. Half of the family. It's a special thing. Special thing. Not everybody can do it, and it's not for everybody. I'm not a maven, and I wouldn't venture to say anything about this profession. There's certain people that they shouldn't, there's certain homes that they can't. There's certain people that they can. The Magadal children, Jewish children, in their homes, and to take them out of those broken homes of the Tavis Road, to give them some simple sechai. I was going to tell you a different story, but instead I want to repeat a story I want to end, and then introduce a friend of mine. A story that I've told here in the shul a number of times, and everybody here that knows me has heard the story from me. But I want to repeat it because I want it to be in the context of what we're talking about. Please tell it over, the whole of you were talking about what we saw, tell over to the chevra that should have been. I heard this from an old Jew, a Benjamin Lifton, who I used to learn with. Around 12, 13 years ago, when I lived in Kew Garden Hills, I learned in that koil there in the afternoon, or Steinberg's koil. This old Jew, Rabbi Lifton. And I said, oh, he was, you know, when he would reminisce about Reb Chaim in the old days, we used to joke and say, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he would stop for a second and say, no, Reb Chaim Volozhiner is before me. But it wasn't like it was so crazy. You know, if you know his Jew, he would say, Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker. But he was a Jew that for a long time said that he was 90 years old. When we made a cheshbon, he was in his late 90s. He said, this was a man that had very little nachas in life. Very little nachas. He was a teacher in Yeshiva Central Queens for many years. I'd never had him. I went to YCK, I never had him. But I remember him. I remember him as being the oldest person I ever saw back then. And he said, one time he said to us, it was Hanukkah time, we were seeing the guys in the Kol, and he said, you know, I want to tell you something. He said, I want to tell you why I'm a Jew. Listen to this. And if you remember it good, he said, I'll tell you why I'm a Jew. He said, when I was a young man, the custom in Lithuania was to send the boys away to yeshiva. He said, now I wasn't a scholar of any means. I wasn't a scholar. I wasn't a Talmud Chacham. He said, I had trouble figuring out the Gemara. But my parents wanted me to go. And in those days, you didn't disagree with parents. At least you didn't express disagreement. So it was decided that I was going to learn in the yeshiva in Grodno. The yeshiva in Grodno was Reb Shimon Shkak. So he said that it was a long trip. My parents were penniless. So they gave me some food for a day or two, and they showed me the direction of Grodno, and they said, walk, and along the way you'll find some yidden, they'll give you lifts or something. And what about food? The same ones will give you a lift, they'll give you something to eat. So he said that he went. He so much didn't want to go, he just wanted to stay home. Now the custom was that when you came to yeshiva, you would be fired by the yeshiva, you'd be tested, you'd be interviewed. And he said, what we would do is, the custom was to prepare a shtickle tayyum. You prepare some Gemara and Tais, this is something in the Kasha and Tair, it's a little bit of question and answer. You chazed this over, and you'd come and you'd say to the yeshiva, and then the yeshiva would ask you some questions, and you'd see whether you're a sharp guy and come to yeshiva. So he said, this was the only Tair I knew in my life. I was chazing this Gemara over for a long time, and he had a private, they hired, my parents hired them to teach it to me, and the whole way there, I was schlepping for 2-3 weeks, walking, getting rides, wagons, memorizing this Gemara Rashi Tais. Finally, I come to Grodno, and I'm terrified, and I'm lonely, and tired. I come to them, I come and I say, where is Reb Shimon? So he says, I come to Reb Shimon Shkak. Reb Shimon was a beautiful Jew. I never expected the Rosh Hashiva himself to answer the door. I was hoping, you weren't even allowed to put your bags down. You had to first go for a fayyad. So he said, I was hoping that the Rebbeson would answer. It was my mazel. The Rosh Hashiva is standing there in all of his glory. And he says, who are you? So I said, my name is Binyamin Lifton, I come from this village. Yes, it's coming. So he said, I was shaking, ready to say over my Gemara. And the Rashid says, Binyamin, I have two kashas for you, I have two questions. He says, at that point, he felt that he wanted to just cry, run, say, Mommy. Because that's not how the game goes, those aren't the rules. The Rashid is not supposed to ask me something he has in his mind. I'm supposed to say my thing, and then hopefully I'll be able to answer one or two questions. This is unfair. And I just stood there shaking, and I felt I wanted to cry, and I didn't know what to do. And the Rashid was listening, I had two kashas. My first kasha is, when's the last time you had a warm meal? My second kasha is, when's the last time you slept in a warm bed? And I began to cry, and so the Rashid held me, and he said, listen, you'll talk and learning next week. The Rebbe wasn't home. He put on an apron. He made me supper. He put me to bed. He said, Krishna. He said, I'll tell you, I went through a lot of tsaras in my life afterwards. I was in Siberia. I was freezing cold. I lost family, friends. And I came to this country. He said, I don't remember any of the shiurim I heard in any of the yeshivas. I don't have a good memory. Whatever memory I had, in Russians and in Germans knocked it out of my head. But I remember those two kashas. And those two kashas, because of those two kashas, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. There weren't enough people that are asking those two kashas anymore. Ohel. Ohel is an institution. It's a home, a place. It was completely, completely dedicated and focused to asking these kashas. And they're looking for people. They're looking for people who see the drops of blood on the surface of the wood and hear the Yonah crying. They're looking for that Avishai ben Tzruya who was able to ask these two kashas, because that's what the children need. A lot of people think, I can't possibly be a foster parent. I can't do it because I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to say. You think it's some sort of a fancy philosophy. You don't have to say over Rambam. You don't have to say over Ramchals. You know what you have to say? I love you. Say, I love you. I was talking to Eli Levin. Eli Levin is my wish. Susie, they're the heroes that Eli was talking about that they had a simcha that they adopted a child. So I was talking to Eli this Thursday night. Eli was telling me, we were discussing how his children have been ennobled by it. How his own children have been elevated, have grown by the experience of reaching out and giving to others. Our children are growing up in a time when they feel everything is very often the whole atmosphere is for zich alein, you know, for to take for yourself. Just the grid to have more. In a house where there's a child that's brought in, those children are the best children. Those are the greatest children. Because those children are learning how to give. Learning how to give. Not that you have to handle the half hour, whose turn is it to clean up after the meal. And then you have to look on the list and they have all fight. And it's not my turn, it's her turn, it's his turn, it's my turn. But to mamish take a Jewish child in from the street and to show love. Sometimes our children have difficulty showing love to the ones who give them love. And it's a little bit easier for them to learn how to show love to someone else. It's amazing. They become great people. So everybody benefits. The Baruch Shalom has another happy Jewish child. Klai Yisrael has a child. The family. Everybody benefits. I want you to hear a little bit from Eli. He's speaking on behalf of Susie as well. To tell you a little bit. Pashut HaMaaseh. Because we're all talking theoretically. Whatever I'm saying is theoretical. I don't know, I don't understand this parasha. I don't know how someone could have the Geulas Nefesh to do this. I don't know. So let's hear a few minutes. Let's hear from someone that does know.